I guess, but I guess I have been just having, I don't know, like this sense for a bit that like all of us have been placed in this house, and I think it's easy to like, it's easy to think that like, you know, you're just kind of hanging out, or you're just on the edge, or you're just, you know, you're here, but you're not really here. I don't know. I think it's easy to feel that, and I think that like even me, who, you know, has grown up in this church and whose parents are the senior pastors of this church, can feel like, you know, at times, like you can wonder whether you're supposed to be there. But this is the place where we are called to be, and this is the house where God has put us. And I don't take that for granted, and don't let that go, and don't let that, like, don't let the devil put doubt in your heart about that, because he'll try, because, you know, and he knows that when we are here together, that God can do so much in us and through us. And so don't let that get in, amen. And I don't know, that's just an aside, that's kind of, I'm not there with what I was talking on yet, but I don't know, I just really feel that. And I don't know, maybe that's for lots of people, maybe that's for one person, I don't know, but I think that we need to understand the value of being planted in the house, and understand through everything that we do that we've been put somewhere for a reason. And that is actually kind of what I want to talk about tonight. I've been, I don't know if, you know, if you've been on the internet this week, it's a silly question, but has everyone seen the Invisible Children Kony 2012 stuff this week online? The thing's had like 20 million views or something, like their video. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. And if you don't know what it's about, then I was just going to quickly show a quick trailer. The guys are going to show it, so you can look it up for yourself.
Around here, angry, stormy, furious at the loss of life here over the course of the past few
years. It does not seem that the violence that we've seen is coming to an end.
There is nowhere left to run.
Everything is now teed up for justice in the world in the way that it has never been before.
I'm lost in the world.
He's the worst criminal in the world.
Of ducks and kills and burns and rapes women and girls.
This makes him, I think, one of the most dangerous people in the world.
Have to make it the biggest story in the world.
You're my devil, you're my angel, you're my heaven, you're my...
We have no option but to stop the LRA.
We need to do something even crazier to finish the job.
So that's the trailer. If you want to look it up for yourself and watch it. And I'm not going to talk about it in depth tonight, but watch it. It's worth watching, worth getting behind. It's a good cause. And the thing that really interests me this week, I guess, was that like so many people have watched this. So many people have got behind this. So many people have like, you know, posted it on their wall or retweeted it or anything like that. And like, it's great and it's good that there's like a cause that people get behind and they support. But I guess the thing that I've been thinking is that we, like as Christians, as followers of Jesus, are called to do more than tweet. We are called to do more than just get behind like a cause and you know, put it on our Facebook or something. But God has a unique purpose for us as we follow God, and as we do that, He has a thing that He's put on our hearts and on our church for us to do. And like, a good cause is a good cause, and that's great. But I guess the thing that I've been feeling is that missions and the things that God has got for us to do, they are not a good cause. They are a calling from God, and that's a really different thing. And I'm not putting down like those guys, but at all. And I just encourage you to watch it for yourself. But I think it's good to do good things and to support good initiatives. But I just really feel like We need to learn to focus on the specific things that God has called us to do and the purposes that God has given us to do and the unique burden that he has put on us and do our part, because God, I know, has a plan and a purpose and God is doing something around the world. And I just really don't want to be a generation that, you know, gets excited about things and Facebook's things, but I want to be part of a generation that makes a difference in their world and does the things that God has called us to do. Amen. You with me on this? Good, good. So, like, I guess the thing that I was thinking when I was watching the thing and I was reading some of the other stuff about it and looking at the guys, because I think I was interested that this video has gone crazy huge in the last week, but Invisible Children, the organization, has been around for a lot of years now. Those guys have done other videos, they've done other stuff, they've done like heaps of stuff, and I just am interested that before it went crazy, these guys were doing what they felt like they were supposed to be doing. And before everyone got behind it, before people criticized it, because there's criticism and there's anti-criticism and, you know, it's all there, you've seen it. Before any of that, these guys were doing what they felt like they were supposed to do. And when everybody else forgets about it, and when 2012 is over, or when April 20 is finished, and all that stuff is gone, or whatever happens, these guys will keep going. And I guess, like, I really was thinking how we are not just called to, like, get excited about a cause, but called to do what God has called us to do. That makes sense. And the church, like, and people who follow God, we have always been called to justice. We've always been called to serve the fatherless and the widow. You know, like, God invented social justice. I think we need to understand that. And in Deuteronomy 10, God is setting up the law for his people. In verse 17, he says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name." You know, right from the start, God established mission and justice as crucially important things, yeah? And I think we really need to get the call that God has for us as a church and the call that he has for us as Christians and get the call of God for the places where he has put us and really understand that God is doing something in us and wants to do something through us in this world. And all of the mission stuff I'm excited about, because it's the places and the people that God has put on our heart, God has connected us with, God has opened up opportunities for. And let's get excited about that, amen. So, like, the guys in Thailand, the guys in China, the stuff in Vietnam, like, let's get excited about the things that God has put in our hands, yeah, and the burden that he has put on our hearts. And you getting that? You with me on that? Good. I love our church, and I love what God has done in us and what he's doing. And we were sitting, we had our, like, department leaders meeting last night, and Dad said, like, because it's next year, it will be our 20th anniversary of City Life Church, which is a long time. That's good. Represent. And Dad said something about how for a long time, they felt like they hadn't even started, and now they felt like it was only the beginning. And I thought that was a really good thing, because, you know, if Mum and Dad thought that now was kind of the end, then, you know, we've still got a lot of time left. But it's exciting that this is just the beginning point and that we are all here now, ready to go. And so in the next 20 years or the next 40 years or hopefully the next 60 years, like, I'll still be alive and we'll still be here and we'll still be doing stuff. And Mum and Dad will probably still be pastoring the church. I don't think they're going to ever retire. So I think Dad will be 120 and he'll be up there going for it. That's right. I don't even know where I was going with that. God has put stuff on our hearts. I don't know. I was just excited, and I just loved, like, Mary's word and Pete's word tonight. Just, and, you know, you're in a good place here. You know, God has put you in a good place, and wherever you're up to, wherever your heart is or your life is up to, wherever we are, God has put us in a good place. And he has put you here for a reason. And it's his church, and he is doing it, and he is using it, and he will use it for his glory, and he will use you for his glory if you will let him. And so I guess tonight I want to talk about how we can live called to mission, how we can live out the things that God has got for us to do in missions this year and in the future. And is that all right? I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. God, I thank you for your church, God, and for your kingdom, God, and that you choose to love us and to use us for your purpose, God. And that's such a privilege and an honor and a blessing. And I pray that, God, we would not take that for granted, and we would not take for granted the place where you have placed us, God, but we would know how valuable that is and what you have done. And God, that you would just use us, and God, that you'd use this time. Amen. So I just have, I guess, a few thoughts on how we can keep going and how we can do the things that God has called us to do in missions and I guess generally. So the first thing I think is you need to get a word for yourself. I think we really need to get, and is I think it's something that's really important for particularly our generation. Like talking, you know, I'm getting old. I turned 26 yesterday. And so when I say like our generation, I feel like I'm holding on. I guess, anyway, not that old really, but you know what I mean. Those are the people who are, you know, older than me, probably, I guess they understand that. Anyway, I realize that I'm not even really in like young adults anymore. Anyway, it's all right. I keep forgetting what I'm talking about. That's all right. That's right. I think we need it. That's the risk of our generation. That's what I was saying. Yeah, senile dementia. Yeah, that's good. The risk, I think, for us is that we kind of get excited about a cause, but don't seek God for a word for ourselves. And I think there's something that we really need to do, and we really need to, in terms of what we are doing in missions and what the church is doing, we need to put in the effort and the time to seek God and say, God, what do you want me to do? I don't want to base what I do in missions on a cube. Like, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, that stuff is just a flyer. It's just a promotional thing. It's just a thing to get you aware of what's going on and what we're doing as a church. But to go the long haul and to make your heart for missions last more than a week, it needs to be more than a flyer. It needs to be a word from God on your heart for what he wants you to do, amen? For your faith promise, like faith promises, go teams, they are fantastic ideas. But we can't let them just be a good idea, because if it's just a good idea, you won't do anything about it. God needs to speak into your heart. He needs to tell you what you need to do, yeah? When you get that, when you let God stir up your heart and let him do that, then you'll have a heart for missions. Then you'll want to go. Then nothing will stop you from going. Nothing will stop you. Your faith promise will be a faith promise. Won't just be a good idea, yeah? That's what I really feel like we need to get. You know, I was reading in Galatians, and right at the start of Galatians, Paul introduces himself, as he does in most of his letters, and he says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I love how Paul understands from the very beginning, and the first thing that he says is, it's not just about someone's idea, but this is God who has sent me. And I think we need to get that same understanding that, like, yeah, missions is not just a good idea, but that God has sent us and he has called us. And we need to get that into our hearts, yeah? You know, it's so crucial that we would individually listen to God and understand what he wants us to do, yeah? In Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared works for us. And the only way that you're going to know the works that God has prepared for you is if you ask God what they are. You know, when I go to work or you go to work, you usually have jobs and your boss has like a job for you to do. You don't just go there and sit there and then like go on Facebook or whatever. And if you don't ask your boss what you're supposed to be doing, then you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, yes? Anyone else like that? If your boss doesn't tell you what you're supposed to be doing, you don't know what to do. Okay, you there? God has prepared works for us in advance. And if we want to live in those works, then we need to ask God what they are. I don't know, that makes sense to me, yeah? Let's not just rely on like the interviews that we do or the videos about what the Hiltons are doing. And this is amazing stuff that we are a part of. But don't rely on that. But let God speak into your heart what he wants you to do. Amen. So let's get a word from God on what he wants us to do and not just rely on other stuff. Yeah. Okay. So that was the first thing. The second thing is we need to share the weight. You know, we are not supposed to do this alone, and missions is not supposed to be like a solo thing. And we are in an incredible church. I already said this, but you know, God is doing so much in us and through us, and he's called us to do it. And I love Nelly this morning, just that heart of just God putting her somewhere and just lining things up, and just how God lines things up. And it's you can't look at it and just say, well, that's just kind of coincidence or that's life. But God is at work. And God is moving. And God brings people together. And God has put you here in this place for a reason. And so let's not just look at this stuff and think, well, that's just for like a few people. And, you know, some people will go on that trip or whatever. And that's great or whatever. And not just like agree or just like that things are happening. But let's be a part of it. And let's take weight and let's take action. Yeah. And I think one of the good things about the Invisible Children stuff is that there are so many people around the world who are saying, yeah, we want to share this with you. And we want to take part of this weight. And we want to be a part of doing that and not just leaving it up to one or two people, yeah. But I think in our church, like, let's be burden sharers. Let's be people that share the burden that God has put on our church, yeah, that he's put on our missionaries. You know, we are here to serve incredible people who have given their whole lives, yeah. You know, missions is not about, like, good ideas or budgets. It's about people. And it's about people like Tony and Ed who have given their whole life in another country just to serve God and do what he's called. And we have an opportunity to share that burden with them, to lift them up, to hold them up, to support them so that they can do what God has called them to do. And then we are a part of that, yeah? That's the reality. That's what happens, yeah? It's not just like we just say, oh, that's really good. Like we see the Hiltons talking about the pigs like we showed last week or this morning. And go, well, that's a really great idea. That's a good initiative. Go for it, guys. You're legends. Like, that's not what we do, yeah? We say, all right, we're gonna send people. We're going to see what we can do. We're going to get behind it. We're going to hold you up. We're going to support you. We're going to help you. That's the burden that God has put on us and the thing that he has called us to do. And so let's do it, yeah? And let's share that together, yeah? Don't let it just be like dad, because like everybody constantly is saying how dad has a heart for missions, which is so true. But don't let it just be that Pastor Ron has a heart for missions, but say, I have a heart for missions. We have a heart for missions. Our church, my church, has a heart for missions, and I am a part of it. And take ownership of that and take weight on that, yeah? Like, you know, the church will be built and missions will be built on people who take weight. Not people who warm seats. I was reading in Philippians, and this is from Paul again, and Paul really was one of the first missionaries, and so it makes sense, you know, if you want to know what it's hardcore missions, then read about Paul. The guy, like, deliberately stays in jail so that he can go on missions trips. Like, come on. But he writes this letter to the Philippians, and I read it today, and I thought it was kind of like it could have been from our missionaries that we support in a way. And he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I just was reading that and thinking about all the guys that we support overseas, thinking about like Steve and Holly and thinking about like Matt and Sarah and all the guys all over, that everybody that we support, and just thinking how these are guys that aren't, they're not like coming and going, oh, we need something, we need something. They're people who just get on with the job and serve God and know what it is to have lots and know what it is to have nothing and but just know that God, they can do anything through God. And I just, you know, just picture those guys as I read the rest of this. And he says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians or City Lifeans know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from the gifts you have sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I think like that verse 19 we quote a lot, like, and my God will meet all my needs according to his riches. And that's good. And we quote that, and that's a good thing. But when I read it in the context of what the Philippians were doing, it changed it. Because what they're doing is supporting a missionary and supporting Paul as he does what God's called him to do. And then he says, and so because of that, God will meet all of your needs. And that's a really different way to see it. It's not like, well, I have this list of things that I need and so I'm going to ask God for it and he's going to just bring them down. But it's, I'm sharing the weight, I'm sharing the burden, and I can trust God that as I give in faith and as I go in faith and as I say, yep, I'm going to go to Thailand, but I don't have any money right now. As you take a step of faith, that God will supply all your needs according to his riches. Amen. I think we are called to hold up our missionaries and to hold up our teams and, you know, hold up, yeah, just hold people up. I don't want to say the whole message, but when we were at district retreat, the guy that was speaking there shared this incredible message on holding up your leader's arms. And I don't know, it's the story of, you know, Aaron and Hur with Moses and how they hold Moses' arms up. And while Moses' arms are up, they win the battle. And I was just so challenged to hold up the arms of the people in our church and the missionaries that we support. Hold up mum and dad's arm. Hold up the mission team's arm. Hold up, like, if you're going on a team, then hold up that team leader's arms. Hold up our missionaries' arms. Like, be people that can be relied on to hold somebody up and support them and encourage them and do what's needed so that they aren't carrying the weight all by themselves. Because, you know, everybody, like, who goes to China says that it feels heavy. And it's true. This feels oppressive in that country. And we go for like 2 weeks and come back and go, wow, that was a good experience. And that felt really heavy. But like the guys are living there forever. So let's hold the weight with them, yeah? And not just do it for a little bit or a little while, but let's hold the weight and share the burden. So the last thought, the last thing I think we need to do is just not give up. You know, when you know that God has shown you things to do, you don't back down from them. You don't give up on them. You don't get tired. You don't look for the next new thing to get excited about, but you keep going with the things that God has called you to do. And Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary of doing good, for in the proper time you'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, like, the guys have been in China for a long time. Tony and Ed have been in Thailand for a long, long time. But the promise of God is that if we don't give up, that we will reap a harvest at the right time. And so we've got to believe that and know that that right time might be tomorrow, it might be in 10 years, we don't know. But we're going to keep doing what God has called us to do and not stop, because at the right time we will receive a harvest if we don't give up. Now let's not get cynical or discouraged or let that stuff get in, because that's a choice to do that. And it's not really, like, I think sometimes we think that discouragement is dependent on our circumstances, but it's not. Discouragement is a choice that you make to be discouraged and just to give up, yeah? You know, don't let our circumstance dictate to our calling. I think, like, we've been called by God, and God has put things in front of us so clearly that we are supposed to do. And if you don't know what they are, then get the cube, read the cube. you know, let that speak to you. But God has put stuff on our hearts, and as a church, He has given us stuff to do. So why would we give up on that? Why would we stop? Why would we let it be like a couple of weeks where we think about it because the backdrop at church changed? Why would we do that? Why wouldn't we keep on going and just not give up on the things that God has called us to? You know, Hebrews 10, I love this verse. In verse 35, it says, "Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." And I just think that's for us as a church, that we are not of those that shrink back. But we are those who believe, we are those who don't give up, who persevere, who keep going, yeah? And I just really believe that if we as a group of people would really get on our hearts what God is calling us to do, if we would really share the burden and we would just not give up, that God will continue to do amazing things, and that now is just the beginning, not just for our church, but for the stuff that we are a part of around the world. And that's an incredible thing to think about. To think that everything that has happened up to this point is just a beginning is amazing. So I don't know, let's get excited about that. And as like we go back to kind of normal church, let's not forget that, but let's keep seeking God for what He wants us to do. Amen. I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you so much for your word and for your faithfulness. And God, that you have called us to do stuff. And God, I just pray that we wouldn't forget it. We wouldn't take it for granted. We wouldn't ignore it. We wouldn't think it was just a good idea, God, but we would really get your spirit and your heart for what you want us to do, God. I just pray that all of us would really take time to seek you and to hear what you want us to do, God. That we wouldn't just rely on like stuff being a good idea that we're told about, God, but that we would really hear you speak to us about what you want us to do and how you want us to be involved, God. And that we would really share the burden and share the weight, God, not just think of our missionaries every now and then, God, but really share what they're going through and hold them up, God, in prayer and in support and everything, God, but that you would just do that, God, and God, overall, God, that you would just use us completely and use us for your glory. Before we finish, every week we give an opportunity for you to get right with God and to start a relationship with God. And I've spoken about missions all night tonight, but the reality is that the mission is to tell people about Jesus. And so I want to do that right now. And we have a chance right now to know in our hearts that Jesus died for us, that He rose again, that because of that, I don't have to be bound by my sin, but I can be free in God and have eternity in heaven and have a relationship with God. And if you want to do that, if you want to pray that, then we're going to all pray this prayer together. But I just encourage you to open your heart and let God speak to you about it and let Him speak into your heart about that. So let's just all look at the screen. We pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.